Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
The best weekend should be next weekend.
That's right. Division around.
Two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. That's the best of the NFL for me. This week could, with six games, should approach it. But, man, there's so many quarterbacks missing.
The divisional round of the playoffs, to me, is that's up there. That could be the best weekend in all of sport.
Obviously, the environment and the atmosphere we're going to play in is one of, if not the best in the NFL. I mean, I can't imagine it'll be much louder than our fans were here on Saturday, honestly, but that was when we were on defense, not offense. So playing a team like them that has a great offense, a high-powered offense that can score a lot of points, and you know, even if your defense is playing well, you got to score to beat guys like this, just when you got especially a guy like Patrick over there. So you know, you're aware of that, and there's definitely some stuff we left out there, and excited to get another opportunity. It's going to be fun.
We treat it as a business trip. We treat it, we're going there for business, right? And it's not a vacation. And, you know, as a coach, you try to keep kind of preaching that message to your team that we got to go, you know, you got to take your lunch pail and your briefcase, and we're going on a business trip.
Whatever you may need.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol, and Marco is a tremendous suck-up. A day after disappointing me with Nova Zoo, he butters me up with Guns N' Roses. I'll come in there and give you a hug right now. Let's go. Let's go! Crank this up. Crank up some W. Axl Rose. Thank you. That's right. It's divisional round weekend. Let's go. You've been waiting. Let's be honest, you've been waiting all year long. You've been waiting since the Chiefs lost to the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. All this other stuff's been fine, but this is what we've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for. It's what I've been waiting for. This is what they've been waiting for over at One Arrowhead Drive. The season starts now. Good morning, Kansas City. If you can't get fired up for divisional round weekend, I don't know what to tell you, but the Chiefs will be back in action tomorrow at 3:30 at Arrowhead Stadium, hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars with a trip to the AFC Championship game on the line. Gary Lezak yesterday claimed it would start snowing at 3:29. We'll get an updated forecast from him today. Hopefully, he will not give a forecast for the NFL draft, and he'll stick to a forecast for Saturday's game. But we'll have that for you just before 8 o'clock. We've got Stan Weber who's coming up. He'll talk football with us for an hour and a half. We'll sprinkle in like Salt Bay, even though I'm tired of him. We'll sprinkle a basketball in there, but football with Stan Weber. We'll get your weekend forecast and your game day forecast from Gary Lezak coming up around 7:50-ish. Then we'll have our Border Patrol fast break. We'll force everyone to predict Chiefs and Jags, even though they're on the show to talk about college basketball. And then Tim Grenhard, where's he calling in from? Florida? Is that right?
The Florida man has returned.
Yeah, Florida man Tim Grenhard. So he'll be calling in. I did something which some people would say is very stupid yesterday. But I wanted to do this, and I'll be honest with you, even though I've watched tidbits, I've not done it to the extent that I did yesterday. So yesterday, I was here, and then I recorded the latest episode of Hot Mic with SSJ with Todd Lebo, and we talked about jobs that I was fired from for some reason. Lebo likes to talk about my past failures as a man, and so we did that, and we had some fun. And so it was me and Lebo basically playing grab ass for 45 minutes. So why wouldn't you want to listen to that? Download it where you download your favorite podcast, or like and subscribe on YouTube if you please, where they Lebo makes fun of me for half an hour. So then I got home, and we're going to go see a triple header at St. Pius. The girls C team, the JV team, and the varsity team were playing Park Hill, and so we were going to get there at 4:30. We made plans, and a couple of girls off my St. Gabe's team were going to go, and so because they want to watch, and it's a good idea for them to watch to see who they're going to be playing with next year. And so it was going to be a day full of basketball with one of my daughters, because Julia, once she gets home from school, she is done with people, and so she was staying home. And so Selena was going to go and some other girls. And so I had some time, because I got home and it's like, you know what? I don't have enough time to take a nap, because then I'll never get back up. And so I want to just chill out for a minute. So I'm looking, they come up with these really good videos. I don't know who does it, but every week they're awesome. And they're like 45 minutes long. So last week I watched, it's the top 10 worst or most heartbreaking NFL losses in the wild card round, but they're really good. They're really well done. They just don't mention them. They show highlights, and that it's a great reminder of like what's happened with you know past great playoff games, right? And so then yesterday they had I'll look to see who does the videos, because they are, some of them can be awful to look at depending on what team you root for, but you know. Top 10 worst losses in the divisional round of the playoffs. And so I'm watching, and it's just a good, and I like NFL history. I like to be reminded, because NFL playoffs to me has always been the best in sports. That's what I look for. Even when the Chiefs weren't in the divisional weekend, I'm not just saying that. That's the most exciting weekend in sports for me. And it's tremendous. It's better than the wild card round. And even though the Super Bowl is on the line the following weekend, I just think divisional round for just drama and everything else, it's always been the best for me since I was a kid. So I'm watching this, and they get to number 7. And number 7 is the combo of the Chiefs losing to the Colts in 95 and the Broncos in 97. And I'll be honest with you, I don't look at that stuff. I've just, in my life, I've never really wanted to watch highlights, and you know, and I was at the games, and so I really don't remember how they were presented on the television. And so I watched some of the highlights, and I saw like they had some of the play-by-play from the Colts game, and it was an NBC broadcast. I'm like, Oh, I don't remember that. Of course you don't remember. You were at the game, dummy. And so I don't know what I was doing. I was feeling it. And so I go to YouTube. I look it up. And so I watched like the whole fourth quarter of the 95 loss to the Colts and the whole fourth quarter, which was difficult because it was like somebody had it like in four parts of the Broncos, Chiefs-Broncos game in 97. And it was really difficult. It was really hard for me. And it made my stomach hurt. It made me nauseous. But I did this, because I was telling somebody at the game last night that I was talking to that I did this, and they were like, why would you do that? Number one, I did this to remind myself how good we have it right now. How lucky we all are to have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and all of them, everybody. How lucky we are. And I remember like how much I desired the Chiefs just to get a home win in the divisional round of the playoffs. And it was always right there, but it was always just out of reach. You know? And I was reminded of how horrific Steve Bono was. And they showed this drive chart, like last three drives. Interception, interception, missed field goal, interception in a divisional round. I'm thinking, oh my God, can you imagine something like this would happen right now? This is horrible. And then, they put Gannon in on the last drive, and there's this big third down, and he has this, and they called a quarterback draw. I forgot all about this. Called a quarterback draw on third down, and he got picked up the first down, but then the drive stalled, and he threw that ball on third down. Instead of trying to pick up the first down, he threw the ball in the end zone to try to win it. And Lake Dawson had his effing hands on the ball, but he didn't catch it. And then Lynn Elliott, and I watched all the, you know, it was terrible. But it was also, again, once again, like, we have it so good right now. We have it so good right now. This is so great to be a Chiefs fan right now. As a reminder of what what we all went through, what I went through as a young man, what we went through as Chiefs fans, those of us that have been Chiefs fans that long. And then it was even, I don't know if it was kind of worse to watch the Broncos one and how terrible that last drive went. And they had the ball like at the 30 with like a minute and 45 seconds left. And they just, you know, Elvis Gerback threw like back-to-back 5-yard passes to Ted Popson, who refused to get out of bounds, and the clock's ticking, and they don't know what to do, and they don't have a timeout, and it was fourth and one, and the clock's 45, down to 40, and they don't snap the ball until like under 20 seconds left, and it's fourth and one, and instead of trying to pick up the first down and then spiking the ball, he just threw a ball into double coverage in the end zone to Lake Dawson. And it was like, what are you doing? You could have got the first. What the hell are you? It was, again, like, not that we need it, but a reminder of how good we have it with Andy Reid, how good we have it with Patrick Mahomes, how good we have it with this football team, where they just go out, and it's not, are they going to win a playoff game? Are they going to win a playoff game? No, the question every year is, are they going to win the Super Bowl? Are they going to get to the Super Bowl? That's how we judge this team. And obviously they don't win the Super Bowl every year. And so there is some heartbreak. You know, there's heartbreak for every NFL team waiting at the end of the rainbow, except for one, the team that wins it all. But damn it, I watch that and I think about, I've watched this team go to a couple Super Bowls. I've watched this team host four straight AFC Championship games. We've watched this quarterback now win two regular season MVPs. We watched him win a Super Bowl MVP. We've watched Travis Kelce become the greatest pass receiving tight end in NFL history. We're watching Andy Reid climb up the coaching charts and become a top five coach as far as wins in NFL history. All of these things are just happening in front of us. And there's no end anytime soon, right? I mean, we talk about Patrick Mahomes, the oldest quarterback in the AFC. He's 27. And he ain't going anywhere. And there's every indication he'll be doing this when he's 37. I'm more worried about me being around until then than Patrick Mahomes. He'll still be kicking ass. Who knows what I'm going to do in 10 years? But I'm just telling you. I don't. So then I was glad I did it. And it was interesting because I had no recollection of the commentary, what the commentary was, and like they were calling for like in the 95 game, they were calling, you can't keep putting Bono back out there. You can't keep putting Lynn Elliott back out there. And it was so like maddening, and Schottenheimer is so stubborn until finally the last drive. Oh, here comes Rich Gannon. And then Rich immediately drove the ball down, was making throws and running and doing all kinds of things. You're thinking, And then 97, you're thinking, if that would have been Rich Gannon. But you know what? Gerbeck like made some really good plays. Like he did the spin around when he threw a touchdown pass to Tony Gonzalez. And there were some nice throws in there. You could at least see how they could dream about Elvis Gerbeck and be stubborn about him. But the Bono thing was like, what are they doing? Why do they keep putting him out there in this game? And so that's all. And not that, hey, look, if you've been a Chiefs fan, you don't need anyone to remind you how lucky we are. You know it. You're young, but you know it. I'm sure that your dad tells you, tries to shake you into reality. Say, Marco, don't take this for granted.
That's right. We sit down and watch those YouTube videos.
Yeah, and you know maybe there's something wrong with me. Like, why are you doing this? But I do think it is important to appreciate the past and appreciate history, to fully appreciate where we are right now. And so that's all. This Friday morning, if you're laying in bed watching me, hey, what's up? How you doing? Woo-hoo. If you're laying in bed watching me or driving around, getting ready to go to work or whatever, man, this is awesome. This is Red Friday, even though I'm wearing blue. I got my Chiefs hat on. Don't mess with me. I'm telling you, this is awesome. And we're lucky to be a part of it. It's so exciting. I'm waking up like, oh, we get to talk about the divisional round of the playoffs. The Chiefs play tomorrow. The Chiefs are the favorites to go to the Super Bowl and win it. Will they? I don't know. But the expectation is that they should. And we'll have that same expectation next year. And it's like back then, like with the Chiefs, like, no, not anything's possible. Could they win a playoff game? That might be possible. But like every year, like, anything is possible with this quarterback and with this coach and with this team and with this tight end. And so I just, man, it makes me happy. I love football and I love the Chiefs and I love Kansas City. And this is so much fun. And I just hope everyone gets up with a smile on their face, all fired up, whether you're going to the game or you're going to watch the game or however you're going to consume this game, and say, damn it, Chiefs Kingdom. This is we waited all our lives for this, and it's just, you know, even though Nate's yawning and he wants to go back to bed, he don't give a damn about what I'm saying. But what I'm telling you is this is a happy Red Friday. Let's go. The Chiefs are about to take their first step, hopefully, back to the Super Bowl and to another world championship. And we are here for it. And we'll be with you along the way, hopefully all the way, to Arizona. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you. Wow! I feel nice.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. It's time for the playoffs. And it's time, perhaps, for you to win a jersey autographed by Creed Humphrey. How? Well, let me tell you. Thanks for asking. We are going to give one lucky winner an autographed jersey signed by Creed Humphrey. In order to win this, all you got to do to enter to win is follow Sports Radio 810 WHB on Facebook, like the post that's pinned to the top of our Facebook account, and then if you tag your game day buddy in the comments below, you get a bonus entry, and the contest ends on Saturday at kickoff. And the winner is going to be chosen at random and be contacted via private message. And then they will win the Creed Humphrey autographed jersey. Ooh. So get on the Facebook. You'd like to wear that one, wouldn't you? So if you haven't already, go do it. It's very easy. Marco, go do it. Nate, do it. I don't think you can win, but do it anyway.
Okay.
And so you could, wouldn't you like to win that?
Yeah.
Are you excited for the Chiefs?
Yeah, of course. Put a new coat of paint on the football field in the backyard for the playoff rounds.
A new coat of paint.
Yeah.
Marco, where are you watching the game? I can't wait to hear this.
In bed?
No. Come on.
Where?
I'm at work. I work.
Well, tell
people. I'll be watching in the studio.
Tell people what you do. Gosh.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay, don't get in trouble. You'll be working.
Yeah, I'll be working. Not at the game, but I'll be working in a studio.
Yeah, in a studio far away.
Yes.
You'll be monitoring the game.
I will be monitoring the game. You may or may not be able to hear me run a board.
Thank you. Nate, where are you watching the game, man?
I'll be watching it at home, you know, but I'll be I'll be with some friends, and it'll be a good time. I can't wait, man. This weekend is awesome. I 100% agree with you about how the divisional round is just a fantastic weekend. It's a lot better nowadays than it was in the 90s, like you said.
No, I mean, it was super exciting. I didn't like the ending. But it's heartbreaking. It's nerve-wracking. I'm a bundle of nerves right now. I fully believe that the Chiefs are going to win. Yesterday, I was forced into making our predictions on the on our eight. What did you make me do? On our 8-10 for 8-10 picks.
Yeah, I made you. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to leave and you made me. What was that? What did I pick? 34-20? No. Yeah.
Chiefs cover.
34-20.
Yeah. Over.
Yeah.
And then your wild card was Eagles.
That took the Eagles to cover. Cop out. I didn't feel strongly about anything else, so I picked that. Let's hear Andy Reid. And also we got Juju Smith-Schuster and Chris Jones. You know what? No, audible. I want to hear Chris Jones. So I enjoy this. Chris Jones, let's play the first clip. He was asked about the different speed of the game once you get into the postseason.
It's a little different. The game speeds up. The level of intensity, the level of discipline you got to have to make sure you minimize error and maximize potential. So I think we beat the young guys up over the week to understand what type of level of play we need from them and the expectation playing playoff football in Arrowhead, Geehah, whatever stadium. Oh, it's not Geehah? Oh, excuse me. My apologies. It's okay.
Let me help you, Chris. This is how I pronounce it. Arrowhead Stadium. So that's the way I pronounce it. I don't know how you do it, but that's Arrowhead Stadium.
Geehah.
Right.
Well, that's what it looks like every time you see it.
Geehah! Let's hear one more from Chris Jones. I like this one. We've talked about this a couple of times this week, how Frank Clark is number 5 all-time in the NFL postseason sacks list. Chris Jones has yet to get his first postseason sack. And here Chris Jones was asked what it would feel like to get that first postseason sack.
I thought you was going to dodge the question. unfortunately, I have 10 to 11 playoff games, no sacks. That's not a huge priority, but I'm going to make sure I get one this go around just to shut you guys up.
Right, the priority is to win. And he showed in the Super Bowl against San Francisco that he can have a major impact on a football game without getting an actual sack. There are some people who thought that he should have been the MVP of the Super Bowl. But he dominated down the stretch and batted passes down and did a wonderful job. But I would like to see him get several sacks.
Yeah.
And still be dominant.
I think we're going to see the best Chris Jones we've ever seen this playoffs.
And he can shut everybody up. Let's hear from Chiefs wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster, who is making his first appearance in the playoffs for the Chiefs. Here, and we know now Mecole Hardman officially ruled out, and so no Mecole Hardman on Saturday. Here, Juju talks about how the wide receivers have been making up for the loss of Mecole Hardman.
I mean, like I said, like guys like KT, Sky, like you know, they're stepping up in a big role. You know, Miko's a great player, and he's helped us out tremendously, and he's still helping us out now, you know, getting the guys ready as far as, like, you know, the stuff that is carried for Miko. You know, guys like us, I think the chemistry is everyone just working together. It's for the number one goal, and it's to win the game and, you know, make it to the next round. So it's just nice that we have so many players to play different positions and still go out there and still perform.
Now, remember the first time around when the Chiefs played Jacksonville, Juju Smith-Schuster was knocked out of the game, a vicious hit by safety Andre Sisco. Here is Juju talking about playing the Jags for the second time this year.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a defense that's, you know, an aggressive defense. You know, they play hard. They attack the ball. And that's something that, you know, happened last game. And even just past game, you know, them playing against the Chargers, you can see that, you know, they're not going to quit. They have a high power offense just as we do. So it's going to be nice. It'll be a good game, you know, gladiator football, what I would say.
You're obviously, we're injured in the game against them last time. When you go back out there this time against them, I mean, you look for that guy.
I just play ball at the end of the day. I think everything's going to set up how it's meant to be. You know, I don't think about the past. You know, like I said, I think Sisco's a great player. He's an aggressive guy. You know, he plays hard. He has those big hits. And that just goes to say that, you know, I just got to play harder. You know, and that's just, you know, the respect game that he brings to the table and just what we have to bring to the table. So as far as just going out there, just playing ball, and just know what I'm used to.
That was Juju Smith-Schuster talking about playing the Jags again. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Red Friday, January 20th, 2023. The divisional round of the playoffs start tomorrow. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati here with Stan Weber in studio. Stan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Divisional weekend. Best weekend in sports for me. It's number one.
Me too.
Is it?
Oh, yes.
I love it.
And the Big 12 did well for us. Kansas tips off in basketball at noon. K-State at 1.
Oh, let me tell you.
We should be ready for 3:30 football and night football. And, yeah, it's the best weekend. And then when your team's in it and you have a home game and you're the favorite, and that just adds on to it. But it's already the best. If the Chiefs weren't even playing, it'd be the best weekend.
No, scheduling is very important.
Yes,
and
it is.
St. Gabe's and St. James tip off at 2 o'clock. They'll be done at 3. We'll make it to Richie St. John's house by 3:30. Let's go! So, yes, we all, I think, are very excited by the basketball games and their tip-off times. And so 3:30 tomorrow, we'll talk to Gary Lezak a little bit later. He says yesterday it's going to snow right around kickoff. And so we'll get his updated game day forecast for all the people that are going out there to Arrowhead Stadium tomorrow to support the Chiefs against the Jags. And we'll see. Would you like to see a snow game, Stan Weber?
Not necessarily, but I'm not completely against it. The field's in such great condition before the game starts that the snow doesn't really affect things too much. These players seem to function so well. You used to worry about, oh, you may fumble. Slippery ball, quarterbacks won't be able to function at a high level, field goals won't be made. You know, none of that happens. Those guys just act like it. There's nothing going on around. That's why they're unbelievable pros, and that's one of the places where they've taken their game up compared to the past. You go back 30, 40 years, and suddenly the weather is the story of some of the games. But I never mind that. That's why four games are great. I like a beautiful, sunny afternoon. A West Coast game where it's warm. It's fun to watch. It could be snowy and Cleveland versus Denver. Remember those Marty Schottenheimer days before Marty got to Kansas City? No, so anything's in play for me. I don't really care. For the fans, you know, I'd rather have them have a little more comfort. So I hope it doesn't snow on them. But from a football perspective, I don't think it really matters.
Okay, so we've had this conversation the past couple of days. Now I would really like to hear your opinion on this. We were talking about the 8 head coaches that are left in the divisional round, and we all agreed with no question, number one is Andy Reid. But then number two, I think everybody had a different opinion. And maybe you have a different opinion about number one, but at least we all thought it was Andy Reid's the number one guy left.
Oh, no, it's Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, and the whole league.
Right.
And then Mike Tomlin's probably popping in there at three. Pete Carroll probably knocking on the door at four. I don't know who I'm missing there.
Right. So who's – but of the eight guys that are left in this divisional round, Andy Reid's number one. Who's number two? Who do you think the second best coach is that's left in the divisional round?
It's not near elite, I'll say that. It's closer to just average than you could imagine. Dable of the Giants is really good.
Is there an argument for Doug Peterson?
There is an argument for Doug Peterson. Absolutely. He's won a Super Bowl, and now he's reloading. He is... His playoff record is outrageously good. It's is it 5-1 or something? I mean, he's won playoff games with the Eagles. I was not a big fan of him as the Eagles coach because, you know, being in Cowboys division, one of the great questions you ask, we talk about all the time, is what do you think about, what does your biggest rival think about what you're doing?
Yeah.
You know, and as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm watching closely, and I never minded that Doug Peterson was the coach of the Eagles. Like, he's not going to dominate. When Andy Reid was the coach of the Eagles, I was, uh-oh. Eagles are great. They're going to win the division. That's why before Andy Reid was even being interviewed, I was calling on this station saying, Andy Reid's a coach the Chiefs need to go after. True story. I wish we had the tape. I'm telling you, I knew how great Andy Reid was, and that he'd run his time out at Philadelphia, so bring him on. So I do not put Doug Peterson in the elite of the coaching at all. But right now, when you look around, he has been a steadying force, and I have a much greater opinion of him the second time around. He's been the grown-up in the room all year long. When the Chiefs beat them, they walked off the field in Arrowhead, and he shot all his bullets. Surprise onside kick. Crazy plays. He went to come shock the world, and it didn't work. Chiefs win. He had, a three-turnover advantage in the game?
Mm-hmm.
And he lost by 10. They only scored 17 points, so he walks in his locker room, and he's the new coach, and they got a new quarterback that we're not sure we believe in, a running back that got hurt, right? Etienne got hurt the year before. Is he really that good? Running backs don't last forever. You know the whole story. He walks into Arrowhead's locker room and says, guys, we're going to play the last week of the season with a chance to make the playoffs. That is a steady attitude, and they played that way. They're a much better team right now. Jacksonville is. They've won their last six games. They've been up and down during the game, but generally, to keep his head, be 27-0 behind the Chargers, and then come back and find a way to win, lose the turnover battle 5-0, and come back and win. So I do think he and Shanahan will be the argument about who the second best is of these eight teams, in my opinion.
With Peterson, Carson Wentz looked like an MVP candidate under him, and then he won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. And I was looking, and you expected there to be a jump from Trevor Lawrence from last year's debacle to this year. But, I mean, just looking at the differences, he goes from 59% to 66% completion, 12 touchdown passes to 25, 17 interceptions to 8 interceptions. Clearly, he's grown under Doug Peterson. That's also a comment about how terrible Urban Meyer was and what happened in Jacksonville last year. But you're right. The debate was Peterson. Shanahan had a couple of votes. Did anyone else get a second place vote in our little poll we were having?
Yes, and I'll get to that in a second. Yes, we did. But there are three coaches out of these eight that have won a Super Bowl. Think of the third.
Yeah,
McCarthy.
Yeah. Right, and he doesn't. And I brought this up. I don't think he gets enough credit because he deals with a lot of, you know, being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys isn't easy. But
that's right. Whenever you hear me comment about how lacking the Dallas Cowboy coaching is,
yeah,
and I'm very loud about that, it's not because of the head coach and his issues. It really isn't. I had a line earlier this week on a chance that I had to say, maybe this will resonate with you guys. When you come in on Monday morning after a Sunday game, you come in before your coaching staff. The head coach sits at a big, long table. The coordinators are right next to him usually. The whole staff is on the table. Every support person that's involved directly with football, analysts, and those people are in the room. This is the most raw time and the most important time for football staffs to truly feel the emotions of the day before, deal with winning or the pain of losing, being realistic about saying our right tackle stinks. Now, what are we going to do about it? You know, what are we going to do? Because the general manager can't get us a new player because the general manager isn't in there, right? The owners aren't in there. This is when it's raw, real, and you got to get ready. This is the elite time for coachings. There's videos of Bill Belichick just sitting there with his legs up in Cleveland talking to his staff. It's brilliant stuff, okay? So guess what the Dallas Cowboys room looks like? Well, McCarthy's sitting right there ready to talk to his guys in the most raw manner ever. And right there with his right hand almost being touched by the left hand is Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, you know, Stephen Jones. So I say it's a bit like you being married and having your parents sit there in your bedroom when you walk in there.
What?
That's the equivalent. Like, this is totally broken. You cannot coach. You cannot have nice conversation with your wife with your parents sitting over there listening to you, okay? And that's what, you know, Jerry's there, and guess what? They say, well, what do you think about the game yesterday? And Jerry's the one that starts commenting. Well, I was thinking this happened and this. Do you guys all agree with me? Guess what they say?
Yeah, we agree.
Oh, yeah, coach, yeah. So it's not Mike McCarthy that's the issue. It's the Dallas Cowboys process. So the Cowboys coaching is bad. The coordinators kind of can function okay. But so on to McCarthy. He won a Super Bowl.
There's two other coaches that have been to Super Bowls out of these eight guys. And the guy that Jesse Newell picked as second hasn't even been to a Super Bowl yet.
You picked McDermott?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I should have said that he deserves to be in a conversation, absolutely. And McDermott might be the second.
I got to show you something real quick. So I don't know if you heard us talking in the first segment. I got issues. You know I have. You know me well enough. I got issues. I'm watching the full fourth quarter of the 95 playoff loss to the Colts yesterday.
Oh, yes.
And so this is so funny. Look at this still shot from this. That's the last drive. That's Schottenheimer talking to Gannon, who's right in the middle between them.
I can't see with the steam. Who is that?
Who that is?
Mike McCarthy.
Oh, is it really?
It is Mike.
Yeah. Because I'm watching that. Wow. I'm watching. Yeah. You know, Gannon's talking to Schottenheimer, and McCarthy was he kind of pokes his head in there. He's like, you know, hey, wait a minute, Mike McCarthy. Oh, no.
But one guy in that picture is going to win a Super Bowl.
You know, the thing that you've done though is created. We talk about the joy, but if you want to flip that to the pressure on to strike and win a Super Bowl is outrageously high, because normally you got to fight through Bill Belichick. Or Mike Tomlin, guys like Pete Carroll, the legitimate elite coaches that make their teams playoff ready and better than they should be. You don't have those guys. You don't have to fight Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady right now. Last year, go back and think about last year's Super Bowl for a second. I proposed to you that Rams team was not great, not even in the, don't even use any of those letters when you talk about them. They should have lost to the 49ers in a championship game. Mm-hmm. They were playing Cincinnati, a newbie coming up with offensive line problems who got lucky to beat the Chiefs, right, to get to the Super Bowl. That's our Super Bowl champion. You know how much better the Chiefs over the last, during the Andy Reid era, should have been than that Super Bowl team? The Chiefs were not as good last year as they are this year. That's important to say. Last year was a flawed team, and they let it slip out of their hands against Cincinnati because they didn't kick the field goal right before halftime, in my opinion. But they should have won a Super Bowl last year. Now start advancing to this year. Look at the quarterback crew. No quarterback is even 30 years old in all of the playoffs. Dak Prescott's 29, and Patrick Mahomes is 27. So, yes, the Eagles are good. Yes, the Niners are good. And Cincinnati and Buffalo are highly dangerous teams. But this, again, is such an opportunity for the Chiefs to go win a Super Bowl. They could have, should have done it last year because that was a low bar. Right? I mean, on a 1 to 100, our Super Bowl champion was like a 78 last year. Look at the Rams. Are you scared of McDermott as a coach? Well, I'm saying the wrong guy.
McVay.
Yeah. I'm not scared of McVay. Nice guy. I like him. But he's not a dominant young coach. He's not Mr. Bill Belichick Jr., in my opinion. So you get ready for tomorrow from a Chiefs fan's perspective, and you looked at that 95 and 97 game, and you can't blow it. I mean, that's why you've got to respect Jacksonville tomorrow. You got to respect because it's one game, and it's a game we're going to remember forever. If you're a football fan, if you're an NFL fan, you remember, if someone reminds you, you probably remember every one of these division games. You can get your arms around four games. Everybody in the country, that loves the NFL more than anything else can get their arms around this. The Chiefs have got to win. That's what's weird about this thing, because I can build up Jacksonville and say, don't just go to Arrowhead or watch the game and just assume, you know, it's a dance party and you just get to go move to the next round. You've got to respect you might lose, and Jacksonville could be dangerous, but there's a ton of pressure on the Chiefs because Cincinnati is not coming in with perfect football, and Buffalo's definitely not playing perfect football. Go back and watch the Miami game. Watch that tape, right? The Chiefs are the best team in the NFL because San Francisco could be. San Francisco is better than Kansas City, except for the one thing and most important, Mahomes versus Purdy. So it's a weird way to look at it. I have the joy right now, but, man, the Chiefs has got to go. They got to strike. They got to win a Super Bowl this year.
We'll be back after this on WHB.
Are we at Arrowhead?
I want to be. Let's go to Arrowhead right now. Okay, so we can get our TV listeners to hear what your prediction is before, because we'll spend the rest of the time talking about the Chiefs, basically. Who do you think is going to win between Cincinnati and Buffalo?
Wow, that's a hard question. I don't have a lean. I mean, if I were a bettor, I would take the points. Whoever gets the points, I think it's Cincinnati, right? I think it's a dead-even game. Buffalo's been better this year. Cincinnati's more of a playoff team in my mind. I think Joe Burrow is the most dangerous quarterback in the NFL other than Patrick Mahomes. He's the guy who sets his jaw and goes wins. Go watch the LSU tape, man. He has taken it from college where he dominated into the pros, and he has that mentality. So I think Cincinnati's, you know, scary good. I would probably rather play Buffalo for the Kansas City Chiefs, even though you go to Atlanta. I think they're more of a soft, cuddly team. You know, they try. Josh Allen, you know, is doing his best, but their running game's not dominant. They're not playing very well. They're making a lot of mistakes. So, you know, I think it's a dead-even game. Buffalo's been better this year, generally. They're the home team. That should matter. As Buffalo gets closer to the finish line, maybe they'll get rid of, you know, they need to advance from the loss last year to this point. So maybe they'll clean things up, but they're sloppy. Sloppy game. I mean, look at Miami. Miami was in the ball game. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know, they're a divisional foe, but still, they should not have been in the ball game. So I think Cincinnati's the more dangerous team to play for the Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion. But to me, it's just a complete toss-up game. I have no lean at all.
We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Those are